It is the weekly Locked On Big 12 Roundtable. We've got some odds from our friends at betonline.ag on who will win the Big 12 Conference this year. That's the whole show. That's it. A whole lot to tackle coming up, coming your way. Dudes talking odds tonight on this Roundtable episode. That's coming up right after this.
You are Locked On Big 12. Your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, I'm Josh Neighbors from Locked On Big 12. To my right is Stephen Simcox from Locked On Horned Frogs. Below him, it is John Williams from Locked On Sooners. To his left and below me, it is Jacob Hatch from Locked On Cougars. So, guys, we finally got the Big 12 odds. A lot of angles to get this from, but Here they are, if you're watching on YouTube. So the two favorites are Oklahoma and Texas. They have the closest odds. Plus 175 for Oklahoma, 7-4, if you want the fractional odds. And then Texas is 2-1, plus 200 right there. I saw these, so we're going to break them up. We're going to go from the top tier, to the middle tier, to the bottom tier. But I see these odds. I see OU up top. I see Texas in second. John, I'll go to you first. I think they're correct. I think Oklahoma should be a slight favorite over the Texas Longhorns.
Yeah, I think a slight favorite over whoever you'd want to put at number two, whether it's Baylor or Oklahoma State. It seems like the national narrative is that Oklahoma is the favorite to win the Big 12. That's been the case in years past. I mean, it was the case last year. It didn't turn out that way. I think it's going to be a lot closer conference than maybe a lot of people think it's going to be. I'm not sure if Texas is a 2-1, you know, right there in second. I would put them a little bit closer to where Baylor's at. I think Oklahoma probably should be there. And it's interesting, you know, like 4 or 5 months ago, we were wondering, is this the death of Oklahoma? Like, are they going to, you know, fall off all of a sudden? And here we are right back, right where they were a year ago as the favorite to win the conference, a contender for a college football playoff berth. But again, it's going to come down to, can they win the games to get them into the Big 12 championship game and then avoid the two loss season that'll keep them out of a college football playoff.
Steven, I think these odds are correct. I think Texas should be 2-1 because they are the most talented team in the conference, especially on offense. They should hold that title. So, but I do think Oklahoma, in terms of coaching, in terms of players they bring in, and distinguishment, deserves, you know, for their track record to be the favorite. So where do you sit on how these titles, or these odds, I should say, are currently at for the title?
Man, you guys are like going to get me in trouble with my Horned Frog people here. I'm just sitting here like, I'm okay with OU being the favorite. I don't have a problem with it. I think Brett Venables obviously brings a new energy, a new identity there. But, I mean, my first thought when I saw this, I get Texas's talent, and we talk about it every year. And I was the one that was defending Quinn Ewers when all you guys were against capitalism earlier in the offseason. And I know they beefed up their offensive line, but, like, why is it different now? Why is it different now? They've always done this. They've always won the offseason. And, you know, Steve Sarkisian, good coach, they, all that being said, they were 5-7 last year. And I know there are reasons as to why they were 5-7 last year, but they still lost to Kansas at home. Like, I just can't bring myself to say, oh, yeah, this team's the number two, you know, team in the Big 12. So my big question is, like, what is – and this is why I'm going to get in trouble. Like, what did Baylor really lose from that team last year? Now, Gary Bohannon has transferred
– their quarterback, their running back, their best – their two best defensive players.
Yeah, but that coaching staff is still intact. You said yourself, Josh, like – you watched Gary Bohannon in that Sugar Bowl, and everybody was saying, hey, you got to make a change. I think Jeff Grimes is, you know, smart enough to protect Blake Shapen. And I'll say this, like, yeah, the quarterback's a question mark, but what team in the conference is there not a question mark at QB? I mean, Texas has to do with a lot of talent. But we've never seen him play at the college level. OU has a guy that, you know, put up great numbers at UCF. No disrespect to that program. I think it's going to be a little different in the Big 12. Spencer Sanders has been inconsistent. You know, I think you could go down the list. I get it, but I think Dave Aranda's a sharp defensive mind, And even with some of the drop off, I would have them right behind OU because
I feel like I have to cut you off. Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question, Steven. Who is the most talented quarterback in the entire conference? Talent.
Talent wise?
Yes.
I mean, I guess Quinn Ewers. I didn't stop down. All right, hold on.
Who's the most talented wide receiver?
Xavier Worthy.
Okay, who's the most talented running back?
What was their record last year, Josh?
No, hold on. I'm asking.
But John Robinson and Xavier Worthy were there last year. What was their record, Josh?
Quinn Ewers wasn't. And also, the guys behind them are all 4 and 5 stars. So, like, this team is actually different than last year's.
Have we ever talked about Texas having a recruiting problem? When have they not had 4 and 5 star players?
But Steve Sarkisian is not Tom Herman at all.
He's not?
Or is he?
Guys, who was the last wide receiver to win a Heisman? It was Devontae Smith. Who made him look that good? It was Steve Sarkisian.
Was he the head coach? Or was he the offensive coordinator?
He was the one calling plays at least. Come on now. This guy's the one calling plays. Nick Saban's not out there being like, yeah, how we run this. No, come on. Look, at least you have to give me this. The offense for Texas is far and away the most talented player. You could argue, like, they have at every skill position, you know, maybe fine, somebody else's tight end you could take. But, like, they've got the most talent at every skill position on offense. Sure, the offensive line needs work. Sure, their defense needs work. But in a conference where the two teams that were in the Big 12 title game are losing so much, you cannot argue. Like, the two favorites are clear. It's Texas and OU. Those two teams.
You think it's unfair for me to have a question about a guy that's never thrown a collegiate pass, even if he's a 5-star quarterback?
He's one of the highest rated recruits ever. He was behind CJ Stroud.
So was Spencer Rattler.
Well, yeah, he was a highest rated recruit. He's never thrown a collegiate pass. I can't have reservations about Texas.
Sure.
I can't have reservations about the University of Texas. Baylor should be higher
than them? No, but Baylor should be favored over
I can have reservations about the University of Texas plugging to their potential.
Last year, Baylor had a 1,000-yard
take. You're telling me that's an insane take, that I have reservations about the Texas Longhorns looking at expectations.
No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the ridiculous part is that you would put Baylor over Texas this year. They sucked 2 years ago. I think they're good to go. I think Dave Aranda's an awesome
Do you?
Coach.
You're yelling at me right now.
No, but would you give them the odds on over Texas, Baylor, after losing Terrell Bernard, Jalen Petrie, Abram Smith, and the quarterback they protected so much? No, they've got no experience. Also, don't forget.
Your offensive line is coming back.
They lost two wide receivers to draft.
And many people think that Blake Shapen is a much better quarterback than Gary Bohannon was. And Tyquan Thornton was a good player, but, man, he had drop issues. Let's be real. Like, he was fast, but he wasn't a very
good
receiver.
But he was their best wide receiver they had.
Abram Smith was a 1,000-yard rusher last year. He was
and
a
lot. Ebner.
Yeah, he was. No, Ebner. Okay, Ebner is Ebner. Abram Smith was a linebacker 2 years ago. They walked in. Jeff Grimes and Eric Mateos walked into an offense that was horrible. The quarterback of that offense is playing at Liberty right now because he couldn't start at Utah.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
And they turned that thing around in one season.
Well, Utah was in a Rose Bowl, to be fair, because of that quarterback. But, like, you know, it's
– Not because Charlie Brewer. No, not because
– But
I'm saying, like, let's be fair about this. Like, let's be fair about this. All right? Their offense protected the quarterback. Because they're running back, Abrams, they lucked into that. That was great. That was awesome for them. Their offensive line overperformed from their last year. We know that's a fact. They did. They were a horrible offensive line in 20, great offensive line in 21.
Right? But they're running it back with that crew.
Yes, I agree. But none of the skill guys are there around them. They're going to win like probably 8-9 games, sure, in that range. But if you stack them up against Texas. You cannot – there's no – we're talking about odds here, right? Odds. There is no way a sports book is going to list Baylor ahead of Texas with all of the talent they have. And, look, this talent – this level of talent is different. Nair, Whittington, Worthy is the best three receivers in this league. It's not close. Oh, you add Jai Hall – and you add Billingsley, if one of those guys, if only one of them hits, you're in great shape. There's this Texas offense is almost Big Banks 2008. It's too big to fail.
was
this
a
offense
problem
is too
last
big
year,
to fail.
They scored 35 points a game
they
last
had
year.
Casey Thompson, Hudson Card.
And
what
they still scored 35 points a game.
In the
their
first
defense
half,
gave
up
31 points a game. Like this, yeah, is, it won't that be the was same an offense that was still pretty yes. good. Is the defense going to be that much better to get them 5 wins better than
yes.
what they were last year?
Yes. They were leading Baylor, they were leading Iowa State, they were leading against OU, they were leading, I mean, they were beating all the teams they lost to. They were beating, if they flip, so what was the record last year? 5-7.
They didn't make a bowl game.
No, they did not.
I think that's an important thing to say. And they lost to Kansas.
It's totally fine. Yes. Okay. So this year, do you think they beat Kansas?
Probably.
Yeah. All right. So let's just flip that KU game around. All right. The rest of those against the top level of the conference. All right. If they win 3 of those games, they're basically at 9 wins. I'm not tossing out some ridiculous hypothetical here. Be like, they flipped 3 of them. They were winning all of them. They were winning all of those games. And now they're like, here's the thing, guys. We saw Hudson Card and Case Thompson throughout the season. Those guys were not good enough. They weren't. Steve Sarkisian was like very, very, very explicit about that, saying, well, you know, we're not even sure who our quarterback is going into the season. That was all year long. Like, if Quinn Ewers is 75% of the player that we think he could be, this thing goes well. Also, what do you want to give a guy like that? All the weapons in the world. All of them.
Okay, Josh, can I weigh in with one thing here?
Go ahead. Sorry, Jake. I've been bad.
There are some connections to BYU here. Steve Sarkisian is a legend in Provo. He led BYU to a 14-1 record as their starting quarterback in 1996. Yeah. But as a head coach in college football, his records – 5-7, 7-6, 7-6, 7-6, 8-4, 9-4, 3-2, 5-7. He has never won double-digit games with USC as one of the programs he was a head coach of, also the University of Washington. I love Sark. I truly do. But his track record indicates that he will get less from more. There you go.
Well, you know, I'm not normally a pro Texas. I mean, you know, Locked On Big 12 host here. I mean, I don't wish any goodwill towards OU or Texas on the way out. But like, I'm telling you guys, I think OU and Texas as the two favorites. I mean, it's gotta be there. They have to be 1-2.
I'm not surprised that they are 1-2. Let me be upfront about that. Texas, they have underachieved for well over a decade at this point. I know they have all the weapons in the world, but I just have this inkling that somehow, some way, Texas's back is going to bite them in the rear end again. And so
there's Texas's back. Like, Sam Ellinger is throwing the football, right? I mean, the kid they have at quarterback, guys, Quinn Ewers, is not Sam Ellinger. He's not Hudson Card. I've heard a lot of this. It's like, it could be Hudson Card. They're just doing it so they have a decent backup. It's Quinn Ewers. You don't bring a kid in like that unless he's starting. My whole point is this, is that level of talent, sure, when we do that, we do this weekly thing, when they get curb stomped by Bama, you guys will say, oh, you sure this Texas team going to win 9-10 games? And I'll come back to you guys, and I'm going to pound the over, all right? Another sports book, which we won't name, listed the Texas over-under at 8.5 games. I am pounding that over. There are not, I'll repeat this again, like 8 teams this conference that are better than them. This year is going to be different for them because it has to be. For Sark, it has to. For the quarterback, it has to. For the guys behind him, it has to. Like, it's going to be different this year, guys. I'm just telling you all. All right? This is not Tom Herman's or Charlie Strong's Texas. This is different. It's so much different.
I mean, Tom Herman was considered a pretty good coach when he went from Houston to Texas.
Well, I mean, he never coached anybody up, though. The guy just came in the room and yelled. At least Steve Sarkisian, I can see the work, right? Now, besides not giving Julio Jones the ball in Atlanta in the red zone, right? Like in the offensive play calling category, where are we like, okay, this guy sucks. The first play of OU Texas, I'm pretty sure it was just a screen pass to Xavier Worthy, which he took like 70 yards.
Yeah, right? Xavier Worthy is a fantastic player. I have nightmares about that dude. Yeah, but you can't play all of them. Like, you're only going to play 3 or 4 guys at a time. They're not going to go
Bijan Robinson, Xavier Worthy.
You know what I'm saying? Yes.
Jai Hall,
yes.
Jaleel Billingsley, Jordan Whittington, Roschon Johnson.
You can name all the wide receivers you want. They're not going to play seven wide receivers. They're going to be
all good. Those guys can play like nearly at one time.
Right. They're going to be really good offensively. I have questions about the defense if it can be better. I have questions about the coaching staff if they're good enough to be a top contender in the Big 12. Are they going to be better? Absolutely. I don't expect them to win five games again in 2022, but I don't expect them to make a 5-6 game jump this year. I just don't expect
that. Why am
that.
I fist fighting for Texas here? What is happening?
I have no idea. But I kind of agree with Steven about Baylor. I think they're being undersold a little bit. And yes, they did lose some big pieces on their team, especially Jalen Petrie and Terrell Bernard. But those are just two guys on your defense. I mean, and they got lost some other guys, too, safety, cornerback as well.
Their quarterback is gone.
You said
I like Blake Shapley.
Blake
where's the running
player.
Back behind him? Who is he throwing to?
Okay. Yet again, I have a BYU connection here. Jeff Grimes, he was the offensive coordinator at BYU. There were huge question marks going into Zach Wilson's junior season, the one that he broke out in, about who was going to play running back for BYU in that season. Guess who emerged that year? Tyler Allgeier.
Yeah.
And guess what? The year before, he had played linebacker for BYU. Jeff Grimes, he is a great coach. He will find an answer. I guarantee he will find something for Baylor. I think Baylor's being undersold. Maybe I wouldn't have them overtaking Texas at number two, but they've got to be number three in my mind.
All right, so we'll move on here. We'll get a word from our sponsors. Today's show is brought to you all by Built Bar. Go to built.com today. It's built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15. LOCKED15. You guys can get 15% off on your first purchase. They got all kinds of flavors. They always have new flavors coming out as well. And they're much healthier for you all. They taste like candy bars, much healthier than candy bars are. Once again, promo code LOCKED15 at built.com today. All right, so we have to go down the list here. As this was a fun, spirited conversation. 1-on-3, don't mind it. I'll take Luka Doncic. I'll take on all comers.
I feel like we made an episode of PTI all of a sudden.
We need Tony Reality to moderate this. So there is Oklahoma State 5-1. Baylor is 7.5-1 plus 750. Iowa State 12-1. TCU is 14-1. Okay, so out of the middle tier, all right? Steven, I'll go to you first. It sounds like out of that middle tier, you like Baylor the most out of that group.
Yeah, I do. I mean, everybody has kind of their own set of question marks. I was actually a little surprised that some of the teams that TCU was ahead of, just because they've struggled, even though I get it. Like, I think there's some, I guess, respect for Sonny Dykes and the offenses that he's built at different stops. But they really struggled against, like, Kansas State and West Virginia. Actually, Chris Klieman and Neil Brown are 6-0 against the Frogs since they took over. So that'll be a little bit of a jump for them. You know, Oklahoma State, I think there's so much to replace on the defense side of the ball. And then pairing that with I don't really know. I mean, the identity sort of shifted for them. And I would love to say, like, Mike Gundy and company could get that offense rolling. But last year it just never really came together. And then Iowa State replacing Brock Purdy and Breece Hall. I like Baylor. I think the coaching staff being, you know, it sounds funny to say they're solidified when it's really the third year of Dave Aranda and the second year, honestly, where the staff has kind of been together. But I think there is potential to sort of carry over the continuity from last season, even with the pieces that are missing from last year.
Jake, I'm going to you on this. It's so funny because I thought about this earlier. There's, in this weird way, Baylor feels more solid than Oklahoma State. Now, it's not a knock on Mike Gundy, but like, think about it like this. Gundy's been there forever, right? So it should be this solid entity. But in a way, I agree with Steven, like in the midfield, Baylor does feel like more of a solid bet. And I think that speaks to Dave Aranda and what he's created there. Like they're just this, I trust it in some way.
And let's also acknowledge the fact that Baylor, it's really 1 year, because Aranda went from worst to first practically. And that's the crazy thing about this, but I'm with you. It seems like the bedrock, the foundation that he laid with Baylor, it's built to just kind of just keep rolling here. And that's a good sign if you're a Baylor fan, but we cannot just throw Oklahoma State to the side. Because as you said, Mike Gundy, he's been around for a long time. He knows how to coach good football. I wish Linda was here to back me up on this a little bit, because the situation at Oklahoma State is annually that team seems to always get undersold in a way. And there are times they have sunk, but many times Mike Gundy seems to find a way to overachieve.
John, so your thoughts on the midfield, any team? I mean, I've heard some Iowa State buzz, you know, in this kind of midfield range, just because it's like, this is right where Matt Campbell wants all of us to be. Where's your attention drawn to?
Yeah, I think it's interesting that Iowa State is that high up in the odds, because we talk about teams that lost players, man. They lost five of their six best players, and Purdy and Breece Hall and Charlie Kolar and Mike Rose and Will Anderson. Like, that's a ton of talent that they lost on both sides of the football. And really, everybody's lost a bunch. Like, Oklahoma lost six defensive starters, lost a bunch of guys on offense as well, and they're still the favorite. So it's just really interesting how every team in the Big 12 has lost really key players, and yet the hierarchy kind of stays the same a little bit. Baylor, to me, is the team that's being undersold. I think they're going to be a little bit better than what they're expected to be, or where they have them ranked. Like, you look at different power rankings, or, you know, Paul Meyerberg, USA Today, had his 1-130 ranking, or 1-131 ranking released just the other day. And Baylor was the number two team in the Big 12, according to him. So it's not necessarily to say that that is going to be the way it plays out, but I do think Baylor is going to be a better team than what the odds are showing there. I think kind of what you guys talked about with Dave Aranda, the dude is just steady. Like, there's no highs, there's no lows. There's just even keel. It's super boring. You know, a lot of times the way he speaks isn't going to get you fired up.
If you're doesn't win the press number. Conference, wins no, the game.
That's right. And I think there's something to be said for that. Like, you know, yes, they did lose some guys, but are people going to be shook by the fact that Jalen Petrie and Terrell Bernard aren't there? No. Are they going to be shook that Gary Bohannon went to USF? No, probably not. I think they're going to be just as fired up as they were last year and ready to build on what they did in 2021.
I feel like Petrie and Bernard are bigger losses than we're selling right now.
No, they're huge. They're huge. They're huge losses. But, you know, every team lost something. You know, like Oklahoma, they lost their best pass rusher last.
They lost a lot of guys last year.
You know? And so, yeah. But they're still considered the favorite in the league. So I think that just, to me, I would expect that Dave Aranda is going to have some really good players on the depth chart to fill in at those spots.
Before we hit our next break, Jake, so this is the range where people seem to think that if BYU was in the conference, it's where they'd be. You know, they bring back quarterback Jaren Hall, Kalani Sitake is back, you know, obviously courted by other places, but you see these odds and tend to think, yeah, BYU probably in this midfield mix.
Yeah, and I threw it out on Locked On Cougars on our Twitter feed, and John responded to it. The consensus seemed to be they think BYU'd kind of be sitting in that 4 or 5 spot if they were in the conference this year, and I think that's probably a good spot to be sitting at, that 15-2. Oklahoma State's a little too high at 5-1, but yeah, Iowa State at 12-1. I could see BYU very much being right there. And the nice part is, yes, BYU does have a lot returning. They do have to replace their running back, but they think that they've found the option there in Chris Brooks. So I think the Cougars will be very competitive this year and definitely at least that top half of the conference.
All right, one more word from our sponsors on today's show. It's our friends from rockauto.com. If you guys need anything for your vehicle, whether it's a daily driver, work car, whatever it is, you guys can go to rockauto.com today. You'll spend 30, 50, or even 100% less than you would from a chain store or a car dealership for every part you need, whether it's tail lamps or, you know, brake lights. You've got all that stuff that you need right now at rockauto.com today. It's a family-run business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com today. Write Locked On in their How'd You Hear About Us box. That way they know we sent you. Amazing selection, always low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That's rockauto.com. Boys, it's time for some long shots. The ones at the back end of the conference, TCU, 14-1. I kind of threw them in there, but we'll give you that one, Stephen, to talk about there. Texas Tech, 40-1. West Virginia, 40-1. Kansas State, 50-1. And then Kansas. 300-1, fellas. So I'll ask you first, Stephen, are we undervaluing TCU? And also give us a long shot if it's not the Horned Frogs.
I mean, I think where they are is about right. I feel like if things come together for them, then you're talking about a team that could win 7, possibly 8 games. To me, the real challenge for TCU is not so much, the offensive side of the ball. You got a quarterback situation you still have to figure out. But I think, honestly, like there's enough talent to skill positions they can score points. It's just rebuilding this defense that's going to be the real problem. And, you know, transitioning to a new scheme under Joe Gillespie, trying to get more beef up front, that's going to take some time. As far as who else on that list could sort of jump up and make something happen, man, it's really a tough call. Like, I like the Joey McGuire hire a lot, but I feel like there's just a lot of work to do at Texas Tech, obviously. I might go with K-State, honestly, just because I think Chris Klieman
has a formula
to win ball games, playing a physical style. We know Deuce Vaughn is an electric player. I know there's a lot of question marks around that team, but I think there's some consistency there. West Virginia, I guess if JT Daniels somehow puts a great season together, they could be in the mix, but I know they're dealing with a lot of attrition during the offseason. So if I had to pick one from that group, I would probably roll with the Wildcats.
That's where I'm at. And I've been a huge anti-Adrian Martinez guy. But, like, their weapons are awesome. And here's the thing. You just have to finish top two, right? And then you're in the title game. And then once you're there, we know like, you can win it. And here's the thing. Look at this conference the last, 5, 6 years. Who has been there? We've seen OU, Texas, Iowa State, Baylor, Oklahoma State. I mean, I just list y'all, half the teams of the conference have been there. Like, if you're in the mix, you can get there. So, and John, you've seen this more than anybody else, right? As somebody covers OU, you see these teams rise up more than anybody else. So if you're set from that perspective, all right, who's the team this year? And I know K-State gives y'all a lot of problems. Are you losing Wildcats? Maybe Texas Tech? Where are you going with this?
Now, I've been banging the drum for West Virginia for the last month or so since JT Daniels committed. It's just a team that I love their defensive front with Akeem Ezidor and Dante Stills. I think that's a really strong duo. I think they're just due for a really strong season. I think if they can get a healthy season out of JT Daniels, that's going to make a big difference. And then really a lot of it rests on that. The dude just hasn't been able to stay healthy in his college career, and it's unfortunate, but hopefully this is the year for him to have that. I think if they can put together some nice wins, because they started off pretty strong in 2021 and then things kind of went haywire, if I remember right. But I think this is a team that could have that Baylor kind of resurgence, that last place in the conference into the Big 12 title game, if they can get some health at the quarterback position, if they're able to replace Letty Brown with a good running back. But I really like the defense that they put together pretty much every year. I mean, they gave teams fits last year at different times. Oklahoma only scored 16 on them. And so I think this is a team that, as far as long shots are concerned, it's one of the ones that I really like the best.
All right, Jake, you got to take your shot now. Who do you go with?
So the funny thing about this is I would just, for the fun of it, I would pick Kansas at 301. Yes. It's absolutely an insane number to look at, 301. But I am a big fan of Chris Klieman at Kansas State. To see them at 50-1, it just seems like that one is a great bet. So I guess I'm going to go with you guys, both Josh and Steven, with picking Chris Klieman at Kansas State, because 50-1 just seems like a little bit too long of odds for a program like Kansas State that we all know the MO of what Kansas State is. Even going back for decades, it's been a hard-nosed football team that's going to make sure that you feel them every time you play them. And I think Chris Klieman coming over from North Dakota State, he has brought that same type of mentality to Manhattan. I'd be hard pressed to pick against Kansas State, but 300-1, I'd put some Skittles on Kansas just for the hell of it.
I saw one sports book had their over on a win total at 2.5. So that is why they're.
Okay, here's the thing. 2.5 for Kansas. I know that how bad they have been, but what their coaching staff is doing, I think they've got the right coaching staff in place. I'd actually take the over on that. I think they win 3 or 4 this year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally with you. Like for me, Devin Neal is like a legit dude. They've got more also. They've got more than one legit running back. Kai Thomas from Minnesota is a legit dude. It's like they've got two good backs. If Bean or Dylan Daniels figures it out, I mean, I'm on board. So I'm with you on this.
If Lance Leipold is given the requisite time to really do what he's done at other programs he's been at, most notably Buffalo at the FBS level, he will make Kansas a bowl eligible team.
Guy's a winner. He's just a winner. Yeah.
He will get them the bowl eligibility, and people will be absolutely losing their minds knowing where Kansas has been for over a decade now. You got to give them the time, but they're going to be a surprise team this year. I think they win 3 or 4, and if they go 5-7, people are maybe going to vote him as coach of the year.
I'm going to go. So you mentioned, Jake, that I liked what Steven had to say. I'm going with Texas Tech though.
Okay.
They've got good backs. They've got the maybe the hottest offensive coordinator in all of college football. I mean, Bailey Zappi just got drafted, right?
Yep.
And so people like that. Joey McGuire made a great hire, snatching him up early, and people have just been like, "Oh, this guy knows what he's doing." I mean, in this conference this year, hell, who knows? And also, they've got three quarterbacks that are like legitimately good options between. Guys, we talked last year. Remember I said, hey, Tyler Shuck had the 7th best odds to be the number one pick in last year's draft, according to our friends at Bet Online last year. Also, Donovan Smith, who was awesome last year. And then also, they've got Barrett Morton, who's one of the best recruits in their entire program's history. The vibes are positive. 9-3 this year. Hey, maybe 9-3 even gets you in the Big 12 championship game as second fiddle to somebody else. Who knows? So, a lot of good options in the bottom part of this conference. I'm feeling. Oh, wait, Jake, you're muted. Nope, not yet. No, still not yet. Still can't hear him. You lost Jake. Big sad.
It would be really good, though, sure. I imagine.
You are fired, though. Okay, you're doing well. All right, so we'll wrap up here. Plugs and times to let us know where we can find you. Jake, if it doesn't work for you, I'll let everybody know where they can find you. But Steven, why don't you go first and give Jake some time.
Yeah, I'm at Simcox Steven on Twitter. Show is at Locked On TCU. Locked On Horned Frogs, wherever you get your podcast. Also on YouTube as well. And I think we just lost Jake. But we'll keep rolling here.
Yeah, and you can follow me on Twitter at John9Williams. You can follow the show at Locked On Sooners, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. You can also read my work covering the Oklahoma Sooners at the Sooners Wire. And I'm really glad that Steven decided to take up arms against Quinn Ewers as well. So
Quinn's still my boy. I was just taking on Texas as an institution.
As we all should.
No! No! All right, you guys can find Jake
at Locked On Horned Frogs and at Simcox Steven.
You guys can find Jake on Twitter at Jacob C. Hatch. You guys can find the show at Locked On Cougars as well, or basically get your podcast. And on YouTube as well, Jacob, yes, Jake. On YouTube as well. So that's for Jake. You
guys can find Google and Locked On Cougars.
You guys can find me at LO Big 12. That's the account. You guys can find me personally at Josh Neighbors _. Find the show wherever y'all find your podcast, and you guys find us on YouTube as well. All right, fellas. Next week, hopefully, we'll be able to hear Jake at the end.